Okay, good to see everybody. As we present the last sermon of this year, in your hearing, I thought it'd be a good idea to remind us of what we're supposed to be doing. As Christians, we are to seek the Lord. And we're going to have, throughout the Bible, there's many passages about seek the Lord. And we're going to cover several of those this evening. And as always, I'll be emailing the outline to you later on this evening. All right, but the word seek, definition of the word seek. And to go in quest of by searching. In other words, seek. You're going to seek something, you got to go off and find it. So some people have gone off to seek their fortune and things like that. So to go in quest by searching for something and looking for, longing for something. I mean, you want something really bad, that's what you do. You go looking for it. And of course, when we say seek the Lord, yeah, we're going to be looking for the Lord. And we've got to look for the Lord where He is, not where we are. Because sometimes you go to the wrong place looking for the Lord, He's not going to be there. You go into a honky-tonk or a bar or a strip club, the Lord's not going to be there. You can pretty much be guaranteed of that. And there's a lot of places, a lot of earthly parties. The Lord's not going to be there. So if you're looking and longing for the Lord, you're going to have to go where He is. And that's sometimes, as we said a few weeks ago, sometimes it's just a quiet place. Sometimes going into your closet and speaking to God. I mean, that it could be as simple as that. And then, of course, coming to the house of God, where God is. And so God is in our midst. And then, of course, we have to try to acquire or obtain something. You want something bad enough? Yeah, well, can you afford it? That's the first thing. And if you realize you can't afford it, okay, do I want to spend the money on this, or do I need to spend on something else? We know a lot of people, they spend their money on all sorts of garbage, and they let their bills go, they let their rent go, and they wonder why they're getting kicked out of their place, or their car being repossessed or something. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes that happens. And sometimes to inquire about or request, you ask for help sometimes. You know, we're sometimes real bad about directions, asking for directions. And, you know, I know you used to be able to go into a small town and say, where's such and such street? And the gas station attendant, oh, it's over that way about five blocks or something. And he used to do that. Now you go in and ask for something in a store. Hello. Do you know? I mean, you get that. And you think, well, sometimes maybe you ask for something very simple. Well, I don't know. I don't live around here. I mean, you get stuff like that. And so, sometimes even just asking for directions how to find something can be difficult. Luckily, if you're tech savvy, you have a phone that'll give you the directions and tell you how to get there. And I think so many people have developed that skill that they basically have just given up on trying to learn any other skill. So the idea of to seek is to explore, to investigate, to learn about. I mean, Ray says this all the time in his studies. I want to investigate it. I want to check it. I want to take the word, see what it means, and learn everything about it. And so, yes, we can do that. When we study God's Word, we need to go along, and if something catches our attention, we want to learn more about it. So we investigate it. We learn about it. So that's the idea of seeking. And maybe it's sometimes just to find something specific. I mean, there's times, you know, some people, they have the kind of room, they got to throw things around just to find something. I mean, it might be a piece of clothing, it might be a book, or it might be their phone. They're just tossing things around till they find what they're looking for, and then they sometimes pile the stuff back up, sometimes they don't. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul. Now, in this particular passage, the phrase from there, but from there, I mean, God said that eventually, if the children of Israel turned their back on him, he would disperse them to the othermost part of the earth. He would send them away. And he says, from over there, you're going to be seeking the Lord. You're going to say, it's time to get back with the Lord. And so that's what that passage is. And of course, you will find him if. Now the word if here means all your heart and soul. If you seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, we'll find the Lord. And that's the promise God has made to everybody. Anybody who wants to seek the Lord, to find him, to serve him, God's going to be found. He's going to make it a possibility that he's going to be found by them. And of course, that means that God's going to use his providence and providential care. He may use one of his own to go out and say, you cross this person's path and show them the light. Sometimes that's all it takes if some people are looking. John 4:21, Jesus said, there are people looking to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so, yeah, there are people out there. We have to believe that. I know in our world, in our society, it seems so corrupt and so evil and so wicked that there's not a soul out there that's faithful. But, hey, we have those in church here. They're faithful. I mean, that if we can just gather together, keep the faithful together, I mean, we'll be doing all right. In 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 10, says, glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. So people who seek the Lord have a reason to rejoice. Kind of fits in with the lesson from this morning. Yeah, rejoice those who seek the Lord. And 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. We always want to be in the presence of God. And a lot of people think, well, I'll go to church and be in God's presence, and then I can get out of there and I can do what I want. And so, I mean, that's the wrong attitude to have. We need to make sure, and what's this really, when you seek in his face, we're talking about the countenance of the Lord. May his countenance shine upon you. And so that's what we want. We want the Lord to be happy with us. We want to be pleasing to God, and of course, his countenance will be upon us, and his favor will be upon us. But if we're not trying to seek the Lord to serve him, then we're not even going to find him, even if we do go to a church or someplace like that. In 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 19, the instruction is, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore, arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord. Now, David spoke these words. He was given instruction to Solomon. He said, okay, well, the Lord's not going to let me build the house because I'm a man of war. And so here's what I need you to do. First of all, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. I mean, that's the top priority. Number one priority, seek the Lord with your whole heart. And David says that several times before he departs life. He says that to Solomon several times. And then, of course, some of the prophets said the same thing. In the Psalms, we have some of the same language. So, yes, we need to seek the Lord, our God. And even if we've been going to church for 30, 40, 50 years, it's still upon us to seek the Lord. Well, I already found the Lord. Yet, how many people do you know have said, well, I found the Lord, and yet they're not living like a Christian should live? We've run across quite a few of them in our lifetime. So yes, we need to constantly be seeking the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 28, verses 8 and 9, It says, now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So several times in here, we are to seek the commandments of the Lord. That means we have to learn it. Now, where do we seek? Where do we go? Well, like I said, you got to go where they are. And you can't go to the library, you can't go to the Walmart, you can't find it there, but you can find the commandments of God in the Bible. And you got to go to the Bible. You're not going to find it in some creed book of man either. And so you have to seek the commandments of the Lord, and then seek him with your heart, your whole heart. You'll be found by him. He will find you. And we can have a relationship with God that way. But we also have the warning, if we forsake him, he will cast us off forever. 2 Chronicles 11, verse 16. And after the Levites left, those from all the tribes of Israel, such as set their heart to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. Now, Solomon has just completed the temple. He sanctified it, and he brought in all the animals and sacrificed. And so after the Levites did their purification process, then all those from all the tribes of Israel came to Jerusalem. They came to the temple of God to seek the Lord there. And so they came to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. And I think it was something like 20, 30,000 oxen were slain, a lot of sheep and a lot of goats. All these sacrifices were made from everybody in the land. And so that's what they're supposed to do. In 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. All right, when we start getting 2 Chronicles from 12 on, he talks about all the different kings. Now we're talking about Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And he did evil. He did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. For a lot of people, they don't prepare their hearts. Just like we talked about, we'll get to him in just a little bit. 2 Chronicles 14 and 4. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. Okay, now this is a couple generations down. We have another king come along, and he wants to serve the Lord. He is a good king. Jehu is a good king. And so he wants to get people straightened up because some things have been taking place. His father and his grandfather did evil. And they introduced idol worship, and they introduced pagan worship even into the temple. And he said, we got to clean this up. This isn't right. And so, seek the Lord God of their fathers. And when he says your fathers, we're talking about the fathers of old. And that is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then, of course, the God that led them out of Egypt. And so, that's what he commanded them to do. In chapter 15, verse 2, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. I mean, so really the same words that David spoke to Solomon, but this is just one of David's descendants speaking these words to a person, and the next king of Judah. All right, so It'll be found by him. In chapter 15, verse 12, then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart, with all their soul. And this is after the pep talk, Asa decided, okay, we're going to do this. He got things in order. He commissioned the priests to do their duty. And then he says, everybody, if we want blessings from God, we've got to start serving him. And that's something this country has forgotten, that blessings come when people serve God. And they're not doing that anymore. And they're wondering why we have so much turmoil in our land today. Well, that's the reason. People are not seeking the Lord like they should. And chapter verse 13 of chapter 15, and whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. I mean, it basically got to the point, this is serious, folks. I mean, we want everybody here to be faithful to God, and anybody who's not going to be faithful, we're going to execute them. I mean, you'd think that would keep a lot of people in line, don't you? Well, his son just turns around and wipes all those laws off the books and says, we're going to do it my way. We're going to do it the way the heathens do it. And so, I mean, things like that happen. In Ezra chapter 6, we're talking several years later. I mean, this is after the Babylonian captivity. Then the children of Israel who had returned from the captivity ate together with all who had separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. See, before the captivity, many people were dispersed. They were scattered about. And God said he would do that. He'd send his faithful ones off this direction, off that direction, go into other lands so that they would be spared when the enemy came and killed a whole bunch of them. And so they were there. So the children of Israel who carried off into the Babylonian captivity, they were allowed to come back. So they came back and they met up with others who had been dispersed. And God said after it was all over, he was going to bring them all back. And that's what he did. And they came together and broke bread together. And so that's what they did. And so all these people who sought the Lord, who were seeking the Lord, they were brought back together. Now, Ezra, as we mentioned here, Ezra 7 verse 10. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. We have discussed Ezra several times. The idea of preparing his heart. We talked about it in class a couple of weeks ago on Sunday morning. He prepared his heart. That's how we prepare the heart. And so what did he do to seek the law of the Lord? Well, he had to know where it was. He had to go to the scrolls and read those things. And then his intention was to do what God wanted him to do. And then his next goal after that, after doing what God wants him to do, is to teach it. Now, it's not any different today. Our duty is to seek what God wants us to do and do it. And we have a responsibility to teach others to do what God wants them to do. So it hasn't changed in all these years. Psalm 14, verse 2, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. As the psalmist, and there were several of them who wrote the Psalms, as they wrote, they just kind of made some observations. You know, there's a lot of people who are not seeking the Lord like they should be. And so they wrote some of these Psalms in that way. And he says, you know what? God's looking down on you folks. And if you're not trying to seek him, he sees you. And you're going to pay the price for it. You're going to suffer for it. And so that's what he's looking for. And those who are seeking the Lord, God's going to find them. And he's going to bless them as they seek him. Psalm 22 and verse 26, the poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. let your heart live forever. Yes, the poor. Yes, sometimes they have it rough, but and what little they do get, they appreciate. Some of us grew up in an age, especially our parents and our grandparents, they grew up that if they had a chicken to eat, that was a delicacy for them. Nowadays, you go through, drive up the window, say, I want a bucket of 8 pieces or something, get it and take off. We don't even think anything about it. Our ancestors would love to get a piece of chicken. Sometimes all they had was just soup, and they'd send the kids out into the forest and dig up roots and stuff to give it a little flavor, put the water in a little flavor. So, yeah, I mean, these people will praise the Lord, and we should thank God for everything we have, whether it be a bologna sandwich, a peanut butter sandwich, or a prime rib. We got to thank the Lord for all that he has provided us. Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. All right, several things here. Yes, this is the psalmist. I mean, I want to serve the Lord. I want to be there in the house of the Lord. I want to be in his presence all the time. And I want to be there the rest of my life. You know, some of us, we pretty much committed ourselves to being with the Lord the rest of our life. And that's what we're going to do. As long as we can, we're going to do it. And to look at the beauty of the Lord, what the Lord has done for me, and praise him for it, give him glory, and yeah, to inquire in his temple. If I ask the question, what do you want me to do, Lord? I mean, that's something we should be asking all the time. And he answers us all the time in the pages of his book. This is what he wants from us. Sometimes we just don't go that far. We just happen to be here in a house where we can worship God and leave it at that. It's got to be a lifetime event for us. Psalm 34:10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And there's several times in the Psalms when the various psalmists said, now this I've seen, the children of the righteous do not go hungry. I mean, so, yes, even lions sometimes, they go hungry, but those who seek the Lord, God's going to take care of them. And that's what we need to remember. If we're trying to seek God, if we're seeking God and trying the best that we can, he's going to be watching out for us. He's going to show favor upon us, and he's going to protect us. Psalm 105:3-4. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. I mean, that was what we said back in Chronicles. I mean, David said that. So, yeah, I mean, he repeats it here. And seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Yeah, that's from 2 Chronicles 12. And so some of the writings in Chronicles are actually carried over into the Psalms. See, Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. We can really definitely relate to that statement as we look at the world today. What is justice? It's skewed, it's perverted, it is messed up. People with fame and fortune, they get away with a lot of things, whereas common people, they're not allowed to get away with things like that. And so evil men just do not understand justice. They don't like justice. But those who seek the Lord, they understand justice, because we as Christians know what's going to happen if we do injustice to somebody. We're going to pay the price for it, because God's not going to put up with that. So we do understand justice, and we can see it when it is perverted and abused. Isaiah 9:13, for the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Yeah, in Isaiah's day, the people had problems. They didn't want to serve God anymore. And God was upset with them. So he punished them, inflicted all sorts of calamity upon them. And what did they do? They wouldn't give up their evil ways. They continued in their evil ways. And so God told them through Isaiah, hey, you're going to be gone one of these days. About 14 chapters later, Isaiah says, the Assyrians are on their way down. They're going to take you out of here. And that's exactly what they did in that day. Isaiah 29:15, woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us? Who knows us? Some people try and get around God. I mean, so if they go somewhere else instead of the house of God where God is, then they can get away with making up all sorts of plans and seeking counsel from others. You know, some people, they seek counsel from marriage counselors or psychiatrists or something like that, and they don't inquire of the Lord. What's the Lord want me to do? And that's the question we should be asking. If we're having problems, God has the answer. He can tell us how to deal with those problems. But these people want to go to some shrink who doesn't even believe in God. And so here they say, well, the preacher said, well, don't listen to the preacher. He's just giving you fables and myths. I mean, that's what they do. And so that's what people do. People try and hide their activities. John 3:17, men love the darkness rather than the light because they could do their evil in the darkness and think they get away with it. And people still do that. Some of them, yeah, they do get away with it temporarily. But God knows everything. God sees all. And there is nobody who does anything in the dark that God does not see. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. See, the Assyrians are going to come to wipe out Israel, and a lot of them are saying, well, we'll just run on down to Egypt. They'll protect us. I mean, 140 years later, the people in Jeremiah's day. Yeah, Jeremiah. They said, well, we're going to go down to Egypt, and they'll protect us. And of course, Jeremiah, you go down to Egypt, the enemy is going to come and slaughter you. And you will die there. You will not come back here. And that's Jeremiah chapter 40, 42, 43, and 44. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. If we're living and breathing, he is near if we will just seek him. And the idea of seeking is not just to get me out of trouble. You know, something happens and we're ready to call on the Lord. But something else happens, and oh, that's okay. Not like the guy who's the roofer. He starts sliding down, and he knows if he falls, he's going to die. So, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. His clothing snags on a nail, so he stops falling. Oh, that's okay, Lord. I don't need you now. I mean, so God provided that, and that's the way some people are. And so, I love this passage here. And this is something I tell people to do all the time. Seek the Lord while he may be found. He can be found as long as you're alive and you have brain capacity to do that. But once you're dead, there's no way you can seek the Lord then. Because the Lord is near. He's not far off. But what separates us from God, we saw in chapter 59:2, our iniquities separate us from God. In Hosea 3:5, afterward the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Well, this is a promise. After they've been carried off into Babylonian captivity, they're going to come back. They're going to seek the Lord. And they did for a little while. When they came back and they finally got the temple constructed and rebuilt, eventually they did seek the Lord for a while. They straightened themselves up for a while, but just a few years later, they were already having problems again. Hosea 10 and verse 12, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Just one of the many prophecies Hosea is telling people, but folks, you need to get yourself right with God. I mean, it's there. It's available to you. All you have to do is apply yourself. And that's just as true today as it was back then. In Amos 5 and verse 4, for thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. If you don't seek me, I'm going to let the enemy come and take you out. And so that's what he did. In verse 6, seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph and devour it with no one to quench it in Bethel. And so Bethel was one of the holy places that they had. You know, when Samuel went around his circuit, Bethel was one of those places. And it kind of held a special place. Part of the time the ark was set up in Bethel, and part of the time it was in Jerusalem and in other locations before the temple was built. And so it held a special place. And so, the Lord's going to get upset with you if you don't serve him. In verse 14, seek good and not evil, that you may live. So the Lord God of hosts will be with you as you have spoken. So yes, we need to do those things that are good. And God tells us what good things are. And we shouldn't be seeking to do evil. The Bible tells us many places of how evil people seek to do evil, and they never tire of it. And so we need to seek good and not evil. In Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And that's right. You know, we know in 1 Thessalonians, Jesus is going to come with his mighty host, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not keep his commandments. But if we're going to be meek and uphold his justice, we need to seek righteousness and seek humility to apply it to ourselves. And we'll be spared of that horrible day that he warns us about. In Zechariah 8 and verse 21, the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yeah, we're talking Zechariah. This is the last days. He speaks up right before Malachi does. And these people, they came back from captivity, they rebuilt the temple, reinstituted temple worship and the festivals and everything. They got things on the right track, but then people started sliding off. And so some people were going from town to town saying, folks, we need to get back right with God. I mean, things look pretty bleak around here. We need to do that. So there were messengers went out. We could say these may have been the prophets that went out to do this. But anyway, and when one city said, we're going to serve the Lord, they would go to another city and encourage them to come along. And so they wanted to seek the Lord of hosts. But the thing is, if you don't want to go, I'm going to go because I'm seeking the Lord. In verse 22, yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Yes, that was a requirement, a required duty that the Israelites, all the Jews, were to worship God in Jerusalem three times a year. And for most of their history, they did not practice that. It got down to the point where, well, we made the journey one time a year, oh, that ought to be good enough. And some people, two of the festivals were like a month apart, so someone would make the trip down to Jerusalem and just stay there the whole month and then get their other festival done and then go back home. And some would do that. And so people would come from all the nations. Remember in Acts chapter 2, it says all these different nations these people were from. They were there because of the Pentecost. And that was one of the requirements for them to meet. And so they were there, gathered in Jerusalem when the church began. See, Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these shall be added to you." We've mentioned several times Matthew 6:33, how it is so important, and it's got to be at the top of our priority list all the time. And Hebrews 11:6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must know that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So seeking God is more than just, oh, I found God in church and leaving it there. Seeking God is a continuous action on our part to learn more about God, to hear what he has to say, to look at the instructions he gives us. He's given us many instructions. And a lot of times people don't even try and learn what those instructions are. How can they be pleasing to God if they don't know what God wants? That's the question we really have to start asking people. How can you be pleasing to God if you only take out two or three commands and do those and leave the rest alone? It's not going to happen. It cannot happen. It will not happen. See, seeking God will bring blessings. We talk about this a lot too. The blessings that come from God, they're going to be there if we're trying to be righteous. If we're trying to live according to his precepts, there's going to be blessings. Now, the world may not consider them blessings, but we do. We who are in the church, it's a blessing just to be together and spend time with each other. That is a blessing. The world thinks, oh, you're just a bunch of idiots up there doing some mythical thing. No. Seeking God will bring blessings. And seek all that God teaches so that we can do it. Just like Ezra. We've got to do what God wants us to do. We just can't sit back and not do those things. Because James 4:17 says, not doing those things which God told us to do is sin. I mean, they're the right thing to do. And you don't do that which is right, it's sin. So seeking God should be top priority in our lives. And so as we about to enter into a new year, let this lesson seep in and get down deep in you so that you will seek the Lord every day of the year, not just on Sundays, but every day of the year. So that's our lesson. Very simple lesson, but hopefully words of encouragement. And knowing that if we do seek the Lord, we'll have blessings. But if we stop seeking him, those blessings will be removed from us. And it won't be very pleasant when we stand before God. So think about those things. That's our lesson. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone needs to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.